Welcome back to the West London Witch. This episode includes a story of suicide and may not be suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is strongly advised. In Southampton, England, there used to be a beautiful old church and an ancient graveyard adjacent to it. Generations of families were laid to rest in this sacred space. Some of the headstones were so old their engravings had been washed away, leaving mystery bodies below. It was quiet, peaceful, and historic. One day, locals woke to find a gruesome sight. Construction workers were removing all of the headstones. They then began to level the churchyard and grade the location ready for building. One townsperson asked if they were going to move the bodies. But they were informed that there was only need and budget to remove the markers, not the graves themselves. Townsfolk were horrified as they watched new houses being built directly upon the graveyard. The new homes were advertised as luxury homes, nestled next to an old church, idyllic, sweet, and peaceful. The houses were sold to out-of-towners who were blissfully unaware that they didn't need to worry about the neighbors on either side of them, but rather the original residents below them. The builders are fortunate that these houses were built in England and not California, for there is little need for in-ground swimming pools in this country. And welcome to episode 18 of The West London Witch, a podcast where we share stories about those moments where we find ourselves very much not alone. As I've mentioned previously, my family hails from Southampton, England. For countless generations, our family has lived within the iconic city walls. I was even born there. My mom is a proper Southampton girl and is still a part of lots of Southampton community pages online. They share all the typical stuff, old school photos or pictures of shops and nightclubs that are now just memories. But my mom, who's also a huge fan of the West London Witch, shared a post on a historical page asking if anyone had any stories about the ghosts of Southampton. I was delighted when I was contacted by Andrew from Supernatural Tours and Events. His knowledge and extensive mastery of local history floored me. So get on your walking shoes, because we are about to go on a tour through one of Britain's most spiritually active cities. I'm Rebecca Strazina, and this is The West London Witch. Episode 18, Southampton Supernatural. Southampton is a coastal city in southern England. It has been inhabited since the Stone Age and has played an important role in British history ever since. It has been home to the Romans, Anglo-Saxons, Vikings, Normans, and you can still see many parts of the old medieval and Tudor town, and the strong Stuart and Georgian influences. It is steeped with history and remains one of the country's most influential ports. As any major port town knows, being a haven for travel, industry, and trading is a dangerous game. Southampton has been seriously attacked and invaded many times in history, and the city suffered extensive damage in World War II. Vast parts of the city were leveled during the November 1940 Blitz. After the war, The damage was so widespread and finances were so tight that cheap construction was used to rebuild the city. This had an unfortunate effect on the aesthetic of this historic port. Yet the tide is turning, because since the 2010s, a lot of money has gone into the regeneration of the city, and there has been a massive effort to restore and preserve the town's landmarks. And this is a great thing, because it means more and more people can experience the city's robust past. Starting with one of Southampton's most famous and striking landmarks, Tudor House. Across from St. Michael's Square on Bugle Street in Old Southampton Town, there is a beautifully preserved and austere Tudor home called Tudor House. The oldest part of the building was created in the 1180s and designed in the Norman style. But the home you see on the site today was built in 1491 and is a perfect example of Tudor architecture and design. In 1912, the home and subsequent gardens became Southampton's first museum and is now a historical landmark.
So I wanted to start today with my experiences at Tudor House. Tudor House was somewhere that really means a lot to me. It was the one place that I really wanted to investigate as a teenager when I got involved in the paranormal when I was 12 years old. I was very lucky to be given the keys for a while to Tudor House and very fortunate to be able to host the first ghost hunts there. And on one night I went there and, you know, this place is alleged to be haunted by quite a few people. And I was in there one night in the cellar, one of the oldest parts of the house, just me and a colleague, and we had the building locked, so no one else could have got in there. And as we were sat there looking for ghosts, we saw what looked like a figure of a person with a Victorian outfit on, just walk straight past us and through a wall. Now, you know, anybody in that situation would be thinking, what on earth was that? And my first reaction was to try and find out what could have been the logical explanation behind that. So I turned the lights on to see if anybody was there, and there was no one other than me and my friend. And when I looked at the wall where the ghost had disappeared through, you could see that it was a bricked up old doorway. So to me, the fact that it was bricked up meant that, you know, no one physically could have walked through there. Very interestingly as well, I played a part of Sir John Daltrey, who had Tudor House built originally, on the ghost tours, and Southern Council got wind of this and asked me to come perform as Sir John Daltrey in the house itself. And when I did that, I was dressed the part, I was playing the part, and I felt like I got more activity from things. It seemed like it was attracting the spirits, and we were hearing footsteps, we're hearing voices, all sorts of strange phenomena. So for me, that was an interesting story as well. And it said that if you dress the part and it's something recognisable to the ghost, you're more likely to get something happen. So for me, it certainly proved a point. But other ghosts said to haunt there. You got people like Anne Boleyn who said to haunt there. And that relates to a story of a lady dressed in white who just appears on the first floor before simply vanishing. Now, I never saw that ghost there myself, but nonetheless, it is one that seems to be making the rounds. In fact, the house is so haunted that previous occupants who lived there on behalf of the council, their dogs would become scared of going in the house after dark. So maybe there is something there. Dogs do seem to be a little bit more sensitive when it comes to ghosts.
Tudor House has had countless reports of sightings of apparitions, the sound of footsteps on empty floors, electrical mishaps, and disembodied voices. The house was actually closed to the public from 2002 to 2011 for a major renovation. Perhaps all of the construction and preservation work woke up the spirits. I like to think that they would be very happy to see the building being cared for and restored to its original grandeur.
One of the other places I was very lucky to investigate were the vaults of Southampton. Now, there are about 48 vaults in the town, most of which have now been closed off or are cellars to houses. But as part of ghost tours, we use the vaults. And one very famous vault is 94 High Street. And it's famous because it's where about 23 people sadly lost their lives back in 1940, the city of Southampton was heavily bombed by the Germans. And it was about 200 people in that vault at the time. And when the bombs fell, they decimated Southampton and did a lot of damage to the town. And the hotel above 94 High Street, called the Melbourne Hotel, collapsed. As it did so, it hit some of the pipework and also some of the rubble hit some of the people down there, killing them instantly. But for those who didn't die instantly, some escaped and some were trapped underneath the rubble and drowned when some of the debris hit the pipework, causing the place to flood.
Sadly, these types of wartime accidents were all too common in Southampton. Even in my own family, we had a relative take their young family into the bomb shelter at the bottom of their yard, only for a bomb to hit the back part of the shelter where their young daughter was asleep, killing her instantly. These types of incidents led to many of Southampton's children being evacuated to safer, more inland locations until the end of the war. My own grandmother had many incredible stories about her time spent as an evacuee. And the story of the vaults is just another example of how the city is still affected by the past.
Now, I've been in there during the day, in fact, actually. I went in there and there was no electricity. So even in the brightest of days, down in the vaults, it's still dark. It's still pitch dark and you can't even see your hand in front of your face. And me and my colleague were in there to check it before we were doing a tour one night. And we both heard footsteps and we both thought we heard like the sounds of kids crying. When we had shoved the torch around, we couldn't see anyone there. So for us, I mean, that was quite a substantial bit of evidence. And it's very unlikely that it would have been noise from outside because the vault walls are pretty thick and there wouldn't be much chance of any interference from outside. It's not the only vault that's said to be haunted. One that we've also had a lot of reports about and I've had spooky experiences in as well is in Simnel Street, known as the Undercroft. And that ghost story relates to a very famous lady in Southampton who was really famous for all the wrong reasons. Her name was Ellen Wren, and in the Victorian times, that part of Southampton was worse than the slums of London. It was horrific. They used animal fat for candles, for example. It was pretty awful. And she was famous because she would mug people, mainly people from the vessels from the docks. And she made it in the papers quite a few times because of that. She's also quite well known for drinking a lot. And on one night, she drank a little bit too much and became quite sick, violently sick. And it said that she actually choked on her own vomit, which led to her demise. And she still haunts one of the vaults today. Now, her body was only found because her landlord at the time hadn't received any money for rental, went round there and found her body on the floor. And you often think, why would it take that long to find that?
Ellen Wren was only 46 when her landlord found her decomposing on her flat's floor. She had been dead for several days, but the smell of her deteriorating corpse was covered by the general filth, raw sewage, and squalid condition of Southampton's worst slum. Her death caused a torrent of protests. The citizens of the city knew the conditions needed changing. This led to the city demolishing the slums around Simnel Street and create clean, safe, and affordable housing for the poor and disenfranchised. Although in life she was seen as a petty crook and prostitute, her death changed the city for good and made a positive impact for other women like her.
Now, her ghost is seen wandering the vaults, and on occasions we've had people on ghost tours who have said, oh, someone's tapped me or someone's whispered in my ear, and they think it's part of the act, but actual fact, it's no one there. So to me, again, another interesting ghost story. And if you get more than one person report the same ghost story, that to me gives quite a bit of evidence to it. If it was one person, you might doubt it. Two people, yeah. Three people, you start to think, hang on, there must be something more here that we simply just don't understand. One of the most haunted places in Southampton, I would have to say, is by far Netley Abbey.
Netley Abbey was created in 1239 as a cloister for monks of the Cistercian order. When Henry VIII divorced himself from Catherine of Aragon and the Catholic Church, he went on a rampage, destroying and taking over monasteries, convents, friaries, and priories. In 1536, Netley Abbey fell victim to the dissolution of monasteries and was gifted to William Paulet, the first Marquess of Winchester. He turned the abbey into his country house, or more like country mansion. But the house was abandoned in the 18th century and is now just a collection of ruins. However, it is an impressive sight and one of the best preserved Cistercian monasteries in the nation.
And it said that somebody bought the abbey to make it into a manor house, and at the back of that wanted to make lots of renovations. And this builder had a lot of odd dreams where he would see a monk that would threaten him if he made any changes to the building. And one day he was doing exactly that. He was in there and he went to change some of the brickwork, and a brick fell, hit him in the head, and he died a couple of days later in the hospital. And so that monk is seen quite a lot. And a lot of people say it's a dominant abbot who would have been in charge at the time of the abbey. A lot of people have seen dark shadows and seen strange orbs and lights and things that can't be explained, as well as hearing voices. And I was in there one day with a colleague of mine, just as you do, looking for ghosts. And it was getting quite late, and we were just going around the side by the abbot's lodge, and we were looking at what we thought was somebody walking past. And I felt what felt like someone just whacked me in the back so hard that I fell forward and knocked my colleague over. And we both fell to the ground, and we both saw no one there. But just before it happened, my colleague said he saw someone literally stood behind me, and maybe that explains why this happened. Nonetheless, it was a bit of a strange experience to come across. There's another very famous story there of Blind Peter. He was a monk that hid treasure within the grounds of the abbey and said that if anybody tried to find that treasure, then they would meet their grisly end. And one man tempted fate. He tried to do that. And as he went down, he found the treasure, allegedly dropped it, and was so scared by what he saw, he fled from the ruins, dropped down in a passerby's hands, and said, "Don't ever try to find that treasure," and then died minutes later. And so, again, the fact that someone was that scared, I think it really, really speaks volumes when it comes to the paranormal.
And speaking of being scared, there is nothing more terrifying than going for a walk by yourself in a park that used to be the site of a spooky old hospital.
Victoria Country Park, which was home to the biggest military hospital in Europe, called Netley Hospital. Frequently visited by Queen Victoria on her way through Southampton to her favourite haunt, if you like, good pun, in the Isle of Wight Osborne House. It was where a lot of military personnel who were injured at war would spend time trying to recuperate. And one of the most famous ghost stories there is around a young nurse who fell in love with a patient, and she felt bad that he was in so much pain and misery that she felt she had to do something. But what she did was she kept increasing the medication to a level which was simply just dangerous, and the result was that she over-medicated the patient. He died, and then because she was so distraught, she went to a higher level of the building and jumped to her death. Her ghost is still seen in the building today. I should point out that most of the building is now gone. There's just a few outer buildings and the chapel remain. But if you go to the chapel, you may still experience paranormal phenomena. And it was one night that I went into the building, and I went into the basement of it where there's some temporary walls in there. And I was in there just doing what ghost hunters do, calling out if anybody's there, give me a sign, that kind of thing. And I heard scratching on the walls. Now I know, because there was enough light to know that nobody in that room were making those scratching noises. Could it have been an animal? Yeah, quite plausible. It could have been an animal. But in that part of the building, which is normally locked down, it's quite unlikely that that would be the case. In which case, because I couldn't see anything, physical around. We have to say it's unexplained. But it was enough to scare quite a few people that were in the group with me at the time. And you can understand why that kind of activity would scare people. Nowadays, it's part of Victoria Country Park, as I mentioned. So anybody can go to the park during the day and night. And many people walking their dogs claim to come across paranormal phenomena. And sometimes if you walk through the park late at night towards the graveyard, it does feel quite eerie. And it does feel like someone is watching you and following you. And quite a lot of people have claimed to see a horse and cart, which again could be quite reasonable. I mean, they would have carried the bodies from the hospital to the graveyard, which is a fair distance from the hospital, by horse and cart back in the day, so that would make sense. But as you walk through that part of the park, you can often hear like wails from people in pain, and it would have been so. And I've witnessed that for myself as well.
It is also reported that when the hospital was still in use, the nurse was often seen at the bedside of patients right before their passing. Legend has it, she would sit by their side to soothe and comfort them and lead them into the afterlife. She would also be seen walking up and down the halls of the hospital, and the sight of her was always a bad omen. For after every reported sighting, someone near to the location of the apparition would die.
Anybody who knows Southampton very well may have heard of the Mall Marlins. As the name suggests, it's a mall that's been there since the early 90s and a very popular attraction for both locals and tourists for the range of shops that's got there. But when you dig deeper into it, you find a mysterious side of it, and where people walking through have claimed to have paranormal experiences. Now, when you look at it, it's a modernist sort of building. You'd be thinking, well, why on earth would anybody have paranormal experiences there? And I can explain that. The simple answer is that beneath that ground is a burial pit, in fact, for many people who died in another hospital called Mary Magdalene's Hospital, which is where the Civic Centre is now based in Southampton. Now, back in the day, we're talking a long time ago now, Pope Alexander actually had it built, and there wasn't a cure for leprosy. So there were probably hundreds of people stationed or kept in that hospital, because there really wasn't anything they could do to heal them. And so a lot of them were, in a way, used to work the land. And there was a lot of land around the hospital at that time. And when they died, because so many people were dying and had nowhere to put them, they would bury them in burial pits. And one of them is located just underneath the Moor Marlins. So maybe that's the explanation as to why people there and in the Civic Centre claim to come across paranormal phenomena. Who knows?
This phenomenon of building on top of old cemeteries, graveyards, and plague pits is not uncommon in the UK and in Europe. To put it in perspective for you, the entire country of England is just a little smaller than the state of Alabama. And Alabama is only the 28th largest state in the United States of America. England is an ancient country, and that means that there's a lot of history, a lot of deaths, and not a whole lot of room for the deceased.
So in my younger years, I spent quite a lot of time investigating places in Southampton. That's because I'm born and bred in Southampton. And so for me, places like Tudor House were places I really wanted to go to and investigate. And as I started to do Tudor House, the name sort of got out there, and I then had access to other buildings, one of them being possibly one of the most iconic buildings in Southampton. I'm talking about the Bargate.
Due to the fact that Southampton was a major port and provincial town, it needed to be protected from invaders. So, in the 13th century, the Normans began to enclose and fortify Southampton behind massive stone walls. The Bargate served as the main gatehouse and entrance into the city. It's still there now and is a scheduled monument.
Once a former gateway to our town, or city as it is nowadays, but also been used as a police station and, more gruesome, used as a place of execution. Now, many years ago, Henry V used to spend quite a lot of time in Southampton, and there was a plot called the Southampton Plot to get him off the throne and replace him by one of his relatives. And this was conspiracy was freighted by a man called Sir Conisberg. However, he was caught and he was put on trial in a building in Southampton, and him and his henchmen were dragged from that building up to the Bargate, where they were not just executed, but their bodies were left in tar to rot outside the building. Just to make a point, you don't do anything to try and cross the monarchy. And that's where this story comes in, because the first floor tends to be a little bit haunted. And I went there with a reporter from a local paper who was really like, yeah, we've got to see these ghosts, is what I'm here about, and wanted to do an article. And I think we must have been in there about 20 minutes maybe. And on the entrance, there's a bell you would ring just to let people know you're entering or leaving back in the day. Now, again, we're the only people there, and you can see the whole room. There's only one room on the first floor, and we all heard the bell ring, and it was so loud it made the floor vibrate. Equally, the floor vibrated when the reporter made a dart for it and left the building because she was so scared. But for me, that was intriguing, because the force of that bell, it could only have been someone with the energy and the power of a human to do that. But there was absolutely nobody there. And later on that night, we caught several orbs as well, which, if you don't know what orbs are the first stage of a ghost manifestation. And they are small balls of light, essentially, that are caught on video. They're rarely ever seen by the naked eye. They're caught on video or they're caught in photos. And we had quite a few of those caught on the night. That rounded up with a few footsteps as well. So, yeah, it all sounds unbelievable, but when you experience it yourself, it's something out of this world.
Another entrance into the historic town was through the West Gate on the water's edge.
Now, in the 1340s, the Black Death took hold of much of England, including Southampton, and took out about 48% of the town. Okay, that's quite a big number back in those days, where the population was nowhere near the population size it is today.
Due to the fear of further infection and the theory that the plague may have actually been a sin against Christ, most of the adult victims were buried outside of the town. However, with the mass amount of casualties and the limited space, they actually began to toss the dead bodies into the ocean just outside of the West Gate.
And maybe that's why people claim to see the figure of someone who looks like a plague doctor. And if you've never seen a plague doctor before, they've got the nice big long beak masks, and they weren't qualified at all, to be fair. They were just people who were wearing masks, using herbs and trying to scare off any rodents who they thought were the reason behind the Black Death. We now know that that probably wasn't the case.
If you tried to invade the city via the West Gate, you would have been killed instantly on the spot. And still today, people hear screams, cries, and moans as if unseen victims around them are being slaughtered.
They're not the only people said to haunt it, because the Pilgrim Fathers, the people who left England via Southampton and Plymouth on the Mayflower and the Speedwell, spent their final night in the town around that area as well. So people often claim to see the spirits of the Pilgrim Fathers before their trip to America, in which, again, many people didn't sadly make it because the conditions were just so bad.
The reality of it is Southampton is so ancient that any location has the potential for a haunting. From houses and shopping malls built on top of burial sites, to wartime deaths, to historic plots of murder and anarchy, this city has seen it all. There are endless stories of ghosts all over the city.
We are a country steeped in history and steeped in ghost stories. And even here in the South Coast, we have so many of them that we get people from around the world who want to come and check these places out. And that's what we do. We do our tours and we tell people about the stories. We play the parts of people as well. And it's about keeping heritage, but also educating people about the ghost stories too.
If you ever find yourself in Southampton and would like to join Andrew for one of his tours around the historic city, you can find him at Supernatural Tours and Events. It's a fantastic way to see the sights, learn some history, and hear even more ghoulish and gruesome tales. Do you have a spooky story you'd like to share? I'd love to hear it. Drop me an email at thewestlondonwitch@gmail.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at The West London Witch. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. And come and follow us for additional content on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. The West London Witch is created by me, Rebecca Strazina. Our sound designer and production magician is the incredible Danny Cross. Our theme music was bespokely written and performed by the wickedly talented Kyle Hall. Our cover art is the beautiful collaboration between Lizzie Wilson and Jake Bowser. Special thanks to Ms. Sinead Bowers, our quality control and biggest cheerleader. And thank you to you, all of our listeners all over the world. These are your stories. Thank you for sharing them with us.